To worship the Lord, hasn't it? It's impressive to see young people leading worship. It's a good sign. Good, healthy church. I feel like I'm in the sunlight. One stormy night, many years ago, a couple came into a hotel to reserve a room or to get a room. The young man explained to them, there are no hotel rooms available. There are three conventions in town, and there just are no rooms available. Then he said, I can't send a couple like you, an elderly couple, out into a storm like we're having tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning. Would you stay in my room? They hesitated, but he insisted. The next morning, when they paid their bill, the elderly man said to him, you're the kind of manager who should be the boss of a large hotel, the best hotel in the United States. He said, maybe someday I'll build one for you. Well, the clerk smiled, thought maybe the guy was a little bit, you know. 2 or 3 years passed by. One day he got a letter in the mail. Inside was an invitation for him to come to New York City, and there was a round-trip plane ticket in the envelope. He went, was picked up at the airport by this gentleman. He took him to Fifth Avenue and 34th Street, and there was a brand-new, very large building. He said, what's this? He said, this is the hotel I built for you to manage. Man said, you're joking. He said, no, I'm not. I most assuredly am not joking. This I built for you to manage. He said, who are you anyway? He said, my name is William Walter Astor. It was the first original Waldorf Astoria hotel. The young man's name, who became the manager, was George Bolt. Why that story? Can you name a person that you know has been very, 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 very faithful? Can you name somebody in your own life that has been a faithful person? You know they're solid. You know they're there. Jesus said, be faithful in the small things, and I will put you in charge of many things. That's what happened to him. Faithful in little things. Some people don't want to deal with little things. Let somebody less significant than I am deal with those little things. Jesus said, be faithful in the small things, and I will put you in charge of many things. We sing the chorus. I don't know if you sing it in this church or not, but we sing it sometimes. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness is what you want from me. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Let's say it together with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, what is faithfulness? Well, dictionary says strict or thorough in performance of duty, a faithful worker. Second definition, true to one's word, promises, and vows. Third definition, steady in allegiance or affections, loyalty, and constant, a faithful friend, and then reliable, trusted, and believed. Faithfulness is the state of being someone in whom complete confidence can be placed. You can count on that person. Trustworthy, dependable, faithful. I think I told you in one of the first part of the series, God is looking for fat people, faithful, available, and trainable. He wants people who are faithful to Him, more than educated, not knocking education, but more than educated, He wants people who are faithful to Him. Not just a year or two faithfulness, but a lifetime of faithfulness to Him, committed to Him. The God who expects us to be faithful is Himself faithful. Listen to this passage, Joshua chapter 21, verse 43 through 45. It says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land He had sworn to give to their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He had sworn to His forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." Listen to that again. Not one of all of the Lord's promises to the house of Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. There are many times in our life that we need something solid to hold on to, something true, something to which we can attach our faith. And when troubles come, you can know that the promises of God are sure. They do not fail. If God says it, God's going to keep His word at it. He's faithful. Evelyn Husband lost the love of her life. He was the commander of the space shuttle, Rick Husband. It was a national tragedy. You probably realize that as you saw it come, the Columbia ship come in, something was amiss. It was nearly a year after this had happened. She stood with her family, and she had remembered the standing at Cape Canaveral, watching on a TV screen, waiting for her husband to come back and land, and they could be reunited from that space journey. They lost contact with the shuttle. And if you remember, you watched television and you saw that shuttle breaking up into pieces, strung from Arizona through Texas. They quickly shut down the TV screens. They took the family members away. She remembered looking down at her children, 7 and 12 years old. And she thought to herself, "How am I going to get through this?" And then she remembered this. "Even in the midst of intense suffering," she said, "God is faithful." I begin to think about how God had been faithful to our family over the years. And I remembered that if He's faithful then, He's going to be faithful to help me through this tragedy. And He did. Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "Never, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Folks, God is faithful. The Bible exclaims it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, when He says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." And God is faithful. He's faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And it goes on to say, "And will with that temptation make a way of escape for you." How do you face temptation? You face it knowing that God is going to be faithful to see you through it. God is faithful. William Fry, retired Episcopal bishop from the state of Colorado, told a story in one of his messages that he preached. He said, "When I was a younger man, I volunteered to read to a college student who was blind. And as we were talking one day, I said to him, 'John, how did you lose your sight?' He said, 'Well, I lost it in a chemical explosion when I was 13 years old. I said, "How did that make you feel?" Don't we ask some dumb questions?
Well, it made me feel really good.
Yeah. No, how did it make you feel? Yeah, he said, I felt life was over. I felt life was over. I felt helpless. I wanted to die. I hated God. For the first 6 months, he said, I didn't do anything. I stayed in my room. I ate my meals in my room. I wouldn't eat with the family. I just was recluse to myself. So one day my father came into the room and he said, John, winter's coming. The storm windows need put up. That's your job. And he said, I want that done by tonight without fail. And he slammed the door. John said, I got so mad. He said, I thought, who does he think he is? Doesn't he know I'm blind? I can't do that? He said, well, I just got an attitude. I'll show him. I struggled out to the garage, found the windows. Finally, he found a ladder. And he struggled around, found some tools. He said, I'll show them. They'll not just only have a blind son. They're going to have a crippled when I fall off the ladder. He struggled, and he got it done. He said, I realized later that my dad was no further than 3 or 4 feet from me all the time. What a wonderful picture of God. He wants you to get some things done. He wants you to take some initiative. But he's always close by you. He's faithful. He's going to see you through. He's going to work with you. Listen to these verses about God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his commandments of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. That's a long time, folks. Psalms 89:8. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord. And your faithfulness surrounds us. Everywhere you are, his faithfulness is there. It surrounds you. Lamentations 3:22-26. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Why is it good? Because God's faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. There have been times you've proved faithless, haven't you? And God proved faithful. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous or just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you confess, you can depend on God's faithfulness to forgive you. He will forgive you when you confess. And because God is faithful in his very nature, if you are born of God, you bear his fruit inside of you, and his fruit is what? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. And therefore, as believers, we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. When it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, we are not talking about human faithfulness. We're talking about God's faithfulness. Because human faithfulness can let you down at times. Why? Because we're human. Because we have flaws. But God's faithfulness is in us. And when you are being directed, as we talked about, and controlled by the Spirit of God, He's faithful. You are faithful as a believer. God requires his people to be loyal, to be reliable, to be steadfast, to be wholesome, to have patient endurance. He wants us to be faithful. God needs some faithful people like Gordon and Norma Yeager. In October 2011, Gordon Yeager was 94 years old. His wife was 90 years old. They died exactly 1 hour apart after 72 years of marriage. I think I've told you before, it's a little scary. My wife tells me over and over again, we're going together. So you pray for us as we go home tonight. It may be her number, but not mine, but she says we're going together. I don't want to fly because we're going together. Well, this couple, married 72 years, died 1 hour apart from each other. The couple left their home in Marshalltown, Iowa. They were going to run into town for a few things. And in the process, before they got to town, they were hit and both of them seriously injured. They were in the emergency room. And in the emergency room with broken bones and other injuries in their body, they were concerned about the other person. So Mama said to her kids who were standing there, how's Dad? Dad said to the kids who were standing there, how's Mom doing? And then they discovered that they really were in pretty bad shape, and so they put them in out of ICU, put them in a room together, put the beds together so they could be together. And they were holding hands. The father, the man, died, and the son looked at the heart monitor, and he wasn't breathing, he was dead, but the heart monitor was still beating. The nurse came in and says, how's that happening? Said, well, they're holding hands, and her heartbeat is going through his hand, and it's registering on the monitor. Folks, they passed away an hour from each other. Togetherness. They loved each other so much that they were faithful to each other. Their endurance is typical, I believe, of the fruit of the spirit of faithfulness. Now, it's required of those that have been given a trust, the Bible says, they must prove faithful. As believers, we have been given a trust, haven't we? We've been given the trust of the gospel. It's not to keep. Sometimes when I'm leaving people, I say, keep the faith. And then I say, no, 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 I don't mean that. Give it away. Give it away. We're not to keep the faith. We're to give the faith away. We're to be faithful at that. The one thing that is required of a person who is in charge of something is that they're faithful, trustworthy, and dependable. And we're in charge of the gospel. And he wants us not to hoard it to ourselves. He wants us to give it away. So as you pass down a counter at the store, be friendly to the clerk. After all, she's had some cantankerous people come through. I started to say old people, but that includes me. Just had some cantankerous people come through. And you know, just a smile at them. Say, how's your day? It means a great deal to them, and they recognize there's something different about you. Once in a while, you can go a little further than that and say a few more things. Sometimes in a restaurant, I'll ask the waitress, where do you go to church? And it begins a conversation. We are not to hoard this gospel to ourselves and keep it inside the walls of the church. We are ambassadors to take it outside the walls of the church. Think what would happen in any church, this one in particular, if every person in this room won one person to Christ. If everybody in this church won one person to Christ this next year, you would triple your attendance and the kingdom of God would grow. And yet we don't do that very well, do we? I guess we maybe think it's our gospel. No, it's his gospel to give to other people. Joseph Stolz, president of Moody Bible College, he and his wife stayed in a bed and breakfast in England. And there were four other couples who were from the British Isles staying at the same place. And they asked him at dinner one evening what he did. He didn't think anybody there would know anything about Moody Bible College. And so he just simply said, well, I work for an organization in Chicago area that's known as the Moody Institute. And they said, you mean D.L. Moody and Sankey? He thought, well, how did you know anything about them? He said, well, we have an old hymnal. That hymnal's been passed down in our family, and we gather around every once in a while, and we will sing out of the old Sankey hymnal, great hymns of the church. And they discovered that Moody and Sankey had been in those aisles for about 3 years, years ago, and they had won some people to Christ. When he heard that story, Dr. Sewell said, I walked out of that room saying, God, I want my life to be so lived, so faithfully lived, that I cast a long shadow far beyond my life. Let's look at some verses that call us to be faithful. Psalms 101, verse 6. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He whose walk is blameless will minister to me. Wow. That verse says we can minister to the Lord. And he's looking for faithful people. Proverbs 3:3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You know, he's talking to church people there. You give a tenth of your spices and mint and dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy. What's that next word? Faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Matthew 25:23. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. You will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life. Folks, you and I are living in a time where that verse might become a reality for the church in the not too distant future. It's already a reality for Christians around the world whose heads are being, their throats are being slit because of their faith in Christ. He says, you be faithful in the things that you suffer, and even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life. Well, how can we live a faithful life? Number one, keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. You start looking to people around you, it'll discourage you. Don't you look to a pastor. Don't you look to a Sunday school teacher. Don't you look to your parents. You look to Jesus. Fixate on him. Hebrew writer says, fix your eyes on Jesus. That means stare at him, gaze at him. Fix your eyes upon him. Secondly, make faithfulness a core value of your life. A core value, a core purpose of your life. I don't care what others may do. I choose to be faithful. I've got some pastor friends who will not do interim work because I've done my thing, and I'm just not going to do that. Purpose, that's going to be the core purpose of your life. I'm going to be faithful. You know, some people say, you're asked to teach Sunday school class, you say, I think I need to pray about that. That sometimes is just an excuse to say, well, God told me no. There's some things I don't have to pray about. God has called me to serve. If the church I'm in thinks I am capable of being a Sunday school teacher, I don't have to pray about that. My answer is yes. If you ask me to serve as an interim pastor and preach for you, I don't have to pray about that. My answer is yes. I chose a long time ago to be faithful and make that a core purpose of my life. And so there's some things I don't pray about because I settled that a long time ago. If it's at all possible, just do it. Just do it. Don't cop out. Say, well, I got to pray about that. What should I pray about? Thanks for the amen. And next, shape your life around being faithful to God. Shape your life around it. Eliminate those things or those persons that might cause you to be unfaithful. Young people, that's an important one for you. If your boyfriend or girlfriend is causing you to be unfaithful to the Lord, you need to can that person right now. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. You need to do it tonight. Can that person, because they are cheating you out of being true and faithful to the Lord. Make obedience and faithfulness a daily habit. Be faithful in the small things. You know, when we were young men, we often wondered, you know, why do all these guys get these big churches? Yeah, 'cause frankly, we were all interested in pastoring a big church. I mean, I can't deny that. And then I discovered one day, you need to pay your dues. I learned more things in the first church that was an absolute wreck than I learned in all my college life in 1 year. I was a C student before that. I was an A student after that. I realized how stupid I was and how much I needed an education. Every church I had taught me a great deal of lessons. To finally one day, God said, well, you know, you've been faithful in small things. I'm going to give you something you don't deserve. I'm going to give you a big thing. And I think because of the faithfulness in the small things, God helped me to be successful in the bigger things. So don't neglect those small little things. Trust in Christ's resurrection power to keep you faithful. Keep faithfulness to the finish line. When you feel like giving up, press on. Just keep going on. You feel like quitting that Sunday school class? Just keep pressing on. Oh, sometimes you get a little burnout. You may need a break, but just take a little one and get back at it. Make the kingdom of God your first priority. And that, I think, is a very key thing. If you really belong to God and His Spirit lives in you, the natural fruit of God in your life is faithfulness. Are there areas in your life that you're not faithful? Think about your life for a moment. Are there areas that you are not faithful? Are you faithful in tithing? Well, where'd that come from? But are you faithful in tithing? If you're not faithful in tithing, you're not being faithful to the Lord because He commands that of us. We're not giving to the church because the church needs its funds. It may need them. It does need them. That's not why you give. You give because God says to give. It is not your money, it's His money. And if you take it, you're stealing from God. God says, be faithful. Are you faithful in tithing? Are you faithful in witnessing? Are you faithful in serving? Are you faithful in praying? Are you faithful in devotions? The list could go on and on. Are you faithful in, you know what you're not faithful in? What will you choose to work on this week, this very week, that you have had a lack of faithfulness? And you're going to say, God, I'm going to change that this week. I'm going to prove faithful to you in that particular area of my life. Choose something that you have been faithless in doing and change it to start being faithful in doing. Because God is faithful. And the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Good news. God is faithful. Good news. I'm going to be faithful to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, sometimes it's easy to stand in a pulpit and talk about things. When you get down into life, sometimes it's a little more difficult. But we know that you're faithful and you'll help us to be faithful if we have that willingness. Lord, I thank you for this church that's been faithful over the years. It's had a great ministry. But if it's going to have a great ministry in the future, we have to remain faithful. Faithful to you, faithful to the Word, faithful to each other, faithful to a pastor. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be the kind of people you want us to be in Christ's name. Amen.